Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. And this is your host, Allison, and like always, I'm happy you decided to join me this evening, and I hope that everyone is staying warm. And if we move into 2010, I want to remind you to visit my website, visiblebynumbers.com, and sign up for the monthly newsletter if you haven't already. It's a great way to keep track of the numbers influencing your life on a monthly basis with the personal monthly numerology forecast. And also stop by the Allison's Insights page to read my numeric predictions for 2010. And you can also keep track of the fabulous guests on the show. So again, that's Visible, V-I-S-I-B-L-E, by BYNumbers.com. And speaking of fabulous guests, I have the adorable Rhonda Holman as my guest tonight. And we're going to be exploring the Akashic Records with her. And you may not be familiar with them, but my best description I can give them is that they're records of mystical knowledge encoded on a non-physical plane of existence, which contains all knowledge of human experience and the history of the cosmos. They contain the history of your soul from its moment of birth. And as a numerologist, I totally resonate to the idea of the Akashic Records as I look at a person's numerology chart, and I realize it's giving us insight into where a soul has been in past lives. It explains the knowledge and experience a person has gained throughout their many lifetimes. And thankfully, we have Rhonda here tonight to give us her expert insight into the Akashic Records, and she also has kindly agreed to do some readings for our listening audience later in the show. So let me take a moment and tell you just a little bit about Rhonda. As a child, she had mystical experiences, which led her to study shamanism, theology, alchemy, divination, and the healing arts. After a near-death experience in 2003, she realized her life path now included sharing the gifts of spirit and teaching others how to empower and heal their lives as they remembered their own divine and creative nature. She expresses her work through the living energy field of the Akashic Records as an intuitive consultant, teacher, radio show host, and author. Her workbooks are called Being Authentic, Authentic Being and Allowing You, and these are used in conjunction with the Akashic Records. Her personal website is www.thesoulknows.net, and it really is a beautiful website. And so perhaps while listening to the show, you might want to hop on over there and check it out. And her radio show airs at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sundays and Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. The name of the show is In the Flow. So she's really a wonderful radio host as well. So it's just my pleasure and my delight to welcome Rhonda to the show. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, dear Allison, and it's a very big honor for me to be here with you this evening, so thank you very much.
Well, it's my pleasure. So, you know, we were talking prior to the show. We had a discussion this afternoon, and we both were in agreement that people's lives at this particular time, you know, there's a lot of turmoil going on, and I'm seeing it with my clients and the people coming to me for readings, and obviously you are as well. And given the work that you do, because I know what I can do by working with the numerology charts, but explain, you know, like what you do, what do your readings hold? Just, you know, give it a few moments here and explain your work.
Great. That's a great question. Thanks, Allison. Well, you know, people come to me for all kinds of different reasons, some personal, some on just a really deep spiritual quest to find out more about, you know, humanity, you know, the earth, all kinds of, you know, broad questions, you know, I get too. So it just depends on who's coming to me. But what typically happens is that they'll write down a series of questions, because these are questions that have just been popping up for them over and over, and it's really important that they, you know, find the answer to them. So when I open their Akashic record, I work with the teachers in the records, because there is a hierarchy in the records. So what starts pouring through usually are answers to the questions that they've already written down, and then the teachers will always shine the light on a specific topic, a highlight of this soul's incarnation, of something that this person came to work through, either karmically or something new to learn, a skill to be mastered, and maybe perhaps they're not aware of it yet. So with every reading, it's a little bit different, but I will say anything that is burdening, troubling, you're inquisitive, you're curious about, you can go to the Akashic Records and find information. And, you know, that's what I love about it. It's always something new. Every day there's something new. A lot of times you'll see things pop up around other lifetimes. A lot of people refer to those as past lifetimes, but the more I work in the records, it's just another incarnation, because there really is no time in spirit. So, and it really helps a person resolve whatever issue or phobia they could be dealing with in this lifetime by understanding what happened in that other lifetime.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because this
sure.
is something that always strikes me, because, you know, it's like we carry, you know, from what I understand, and what I've been told by people that do this type of reading that you're doing, is that we bring in phobias and things from past lives, okay?
Right.
Now,
mm-hmm.
it just seems to me that, the soul sought to master, understand, work through that phobia in this lifetime. Therefore, it is part of their purpose. It's part of, you know, raising the consciousness or the wisdom or whatever it is that our souls do when we come into lifetimes. It has to be a free will choice to want to work that through, it seems to me, because life, you know, what is on our agendas, you know, it's past things from past lives. To me, it's like that's a whole lot of stuff to bring in
yes.
and have to deal with in mm-hmm. any given lifetime, just given just the business of living your life. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to me, we actually do carry in things like phobias. Do you think it's a free will choice that we choose to work on them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that rings so clear, totally clear, Allison. We have free will, period. And that's why one of the first principles any of us on this spiritual journey must understand and begin to master at some level, that we're creating our lives a little bit at a time. You know, we're the ones steering the ship. So when we start taking responsibility for our life totally and quit the blame game and saying, oh, well, I did this because my mother did this to me when I was 3 or my boyfriend did this to me when I was 15, when we let go of that, it sets us free. Mm-hmm. Anytime we're placing any kind of blame on anybody else, it's pulling the plug on our power. You
right.
see, so as we hold ourselves accountable and responsible, it frees us up. Everything becomes much clearer, and we can make a better decision next time that's more supportive of us. So, you know, as we work through our phobias, the goal really, I mean, it's at the bottom line of any phobia, any karmic issue between in relationships, it's all about being free and understanding that we are free at the core. It's just about loving ourselves enough and honoring ourselves enough to understand that connection to Source and to the universe and to the divine.
Right.
So that's really what it's all about.
So one other thing that I was looking on your website that was of interest to me is that, you know, certainly you teach people how to access the Akashic Records.
Right.
There is a sacred prayer that,
mm-hmm.
that is the doorway. And what's interesting to me is I recently read a book, I think, is it Linda Howe, about the Akashic Records? And
uh-huh.
she actually had a prayer in there as well. And, of course, you know, when I look at a numerology chart, to me, it's just, as soon as I see the numbers, this tremendous conversation starts taking place.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, it's just kind of like a crazy thing with me, and it's just nonstop. And so I'm kind of feel as though the numerology chart is part of the soul's records, but it really pertains to this lifetime, and it also is quite like what you say, talking about what the soul is bringing in from the past as tools, what the soul is bringing in the past that is wanting to work on, the courage of the soul sometimes in actually their choices. But it all is really strongly written there, you know. But I don't, you know, the prayer aspect of it, you know, to go even further deeper, you know, there's a prayer that you access the Akashic Records. You want to, like, expand on that just a little bit?
Sure. Well, Linda was one of my teachers, but I was not to, according to my records, I was not to follow Linda in her prayer. My spiritual teachers wanted me to create my own prayer and a way of teaching because Linda and I have very different vibrations, mm-hmm. and she has a different mission than I do.
Uh-huh.
Really, in the broader scheme of things. So she teaches a different prayer. I have a prayer that, I don't know, she's described it as more devotional, kind of more like you would find more or less in a prayer book. It's mm-hmm. more that kind of vibration. And the only reason I created that was it gives people an easy access in and out of the consciousness, in and out of that dimension. And until you get really good at it, eventually you do get good enough where you don't need the prayer, you know,
right.
But it really
is it possible, just bringing up the subject, that if she had her prayer, you had your prayer, is it possible that everybody has their own prayer?
Could be.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, it depends on if it's really, if that's something you wanted to explore in that lifetime. I think it's our God-given right, it's our divine right to be able to access our soul's records. See, I think because of a lot of reasons, cultural, religious, the patriarchal system we're still under, you know, ruled by, now that's shifting as we go into 2011, 2012, where the divine feminine is bringing more balance, you know, to the global community. It, you know, we're letting loose of the patriarchal thumb, where, you know, we're being held back by all of these rules that saying that we're less than divine creations. And so when we come into that greater resonance that we are divine creations, then it gives us enough courage to say, oh, well, what is in my soul's records?
Sure.
You know, it's scary for some people.
Right.
To think that perhaps they murdered another individual in another lifetime.
Right.
You know what? It's just an experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
everything serves a purpose, I think.
Absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
That when you think about the evolution of the soul and the I don't know, I kind of feel as though there's a final goal, and that goal would be unconditional love, forgiveness, compassion, non-judgmental, just total acceptance of each and every person and accepting them for exactly who they are. First
right.
and foremost, being authentic to yourself.
Absolutely.
But secondly, to honor someone else's authenticity. And, you know, that we are not alike. And I think this is one of the beauty of being able to access your soul records is also to truly understand who you are authentically, how you got to be the person that you are, where
mm-hmm.
that experience came from. Like saying, for instance, with myself, you know, I do have cosmic mommy energy. It is such a joy for me. My work is not work, but it's a complete and total joy for me to be able to help people understand their lives and to help
uh-huh.
them to perhaps heal from things that have occurred in their lives and to maybe give them reasons that resonate to their soul through numerology. And I know that from what I understand from my numbers that I have spent many a lifetime of being of service to others,
mm-hmm.
and that it has taught me the joy of giving, the joy of kindness, the joy of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that's part of you know what I'm trying to say here with what I've learned from the Akashic Records that it really helps you to the final goal really is. To get to that place of being totally non-judgmental,
yeah.
able to love unconditionally,
mm-hmm.
and to have compassion and understanding for everyone else. Nobody is the same. Everybody is unique and different. Would you say that that's, you know, some of the insight that you've gotten through
oh,
your work?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You know, and as you work in the records more and more and more, that becomes, I mean, it's just reiterated over and over that, you know, when you see that there's no judgment and the divine does not judge you. I mean, the universe does not judge you. We're the ones placing judgment on ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean go out and steal, you know, from the bank down the road $50,000, but it means staying in balance, staying in alignment with truth and wisdom and justice. But really, I think there's really three keys: non-judgment, non-resistance, and no fear, letting go of the fear. And as we stay in that space, that keeps us really clear and helps us move through each lesson more gracefully. But the records really indicate, you know, where maybe we're weak in some areas. See, for as an example, you know, I see this a lot, typically in women. Oh, I do. I don't have to say I see it across the board. I'll take that back. There's a lot of martyrdom syndrome that comes across where people will take on, will think that they're here to serve other people, that now that we're talking about service, but they forget about serving themselves too.
Sure.
So that
sure.
becomes out of balance and out
right.
of whack. And so they really have come here to master to have that in balance also, to
right.
let go of that martyrdom.
Receiving. Right,
yeah.
To receive love, and that means starting with self-love,
right.
taking care of self. Yeah, and that's very much in alignment with, like say, for instance, what's really interesting is how you're mirroring the numbers. If you were to take a person with a great deal of six energy, they would have a tendency to be a martyr.
Uh-huh.
They would just give and give and give until they're bereft of energy, where
yeah.
Life becomes a burden, where... And the whole soul problem is that they didn't put themselves first and foremost. Love
mm-hmm.
thyself. Take
mm-hmm.
care of thyself. Because if you don't take care of you, you're of no use to anyone else.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying really mirrors the numbers as well.
Right. And see, the person may not be aware that perhaps they were a nun in another lifetime and took these vows total separation from God, that they were of God's service, but they were totally separate from God.
Sure.
And they took these vows to the church. So they may not be aware of that at all. And so when you bring that up to their consciousness, they'll say, that makes sense, and their soul is resonating with that. And so
sure.
they're able to just take that bondage off and say, now I understand it. It's like the soul's records, the Akashic records get you. It's like your best friend getting you.
Right,
you know,
right,
so
right.
it will just honor you in every way.
Right. It's kind of like, again, you know, as I said, the only thing I can compare it to is numerology, and it's like I look at it, what I say is their soul actually speaking to them, and the reason why people find the readings to be profound is because it resonates to them.
Yes.
It's truth. And
yes.
and there in that comes the awareness and perhaps the shift in perception of something that they're doing and the reason why they're doing it. So
right.
it makes a lot of sense. But listen, I'm not 100% sure, Rhonda, but I did hear a beep at the very beginning of the show, and I'm really sorry, caller, for, you know, kind of leaving you hanging there because we were just getting started with our conversation, and I absolutely wanted to give Rhonda the opportunity to talk about her work before we got into callers. So let me check and see if we still got a caller on the line. Do we? Hello? Okay. It's possible that the caller may have, you know, disconnected because we were talking. So if you're out there and you had called into the show, by all means, just feel free to call back, and I'm sure that Seth will put you through. And I just want to apologize for not taking your call at the beginning of the show. But I wanted to give Rhonda the opportunity to talk about her work. So, you know, be sure to get – and anyone that's listening to the show, you know, the one beautiful thing about Rhonda is that she very – generously has agreed to do Akashic Record readings for anyone that wants to call into the show. So what I'm going to do now is I am going to give out the numbers, which are toll-free 888-815-9756. You can also call in on 530-327-7602, 530-776-5185, 530-413-4511, and 530-876-3222. If you didn't get those numbers, you certainly can go to the front page of bbsradio.com, and those numbers are there for Station 1. And if you are calling into the show, if you have a specific question to ask Rhonda, that would be fine. And if you want, she can just, you know, see what insight she comes up with without the question, but it's kind of better to have a question to ask her. And you know what, Rhonda, I just heard a beep, so I think we have somebody calling into the show, so let's take
Great.
The caller. Okay. So who's calling, please? Hello? Do we have a caller? is Mercury in retrograde? Hello? Hello?
You know, and it's been a particularly interesting Mercury retrograde also.
Okay, I know I heard a beep, which tells me there's a caller. So if we have a caller on the line, could you just speak up, please? And okay. Alrighty, thank you, Mercury in retrograde. All right. So anyhow, we gave out the numbers. Hopefully they're going to be able to call. And hopefully they're not sitting there not saying anything. But anyhow, getting back to your website and to the discussion, let's just go there and let's talk about stuff here. You have a lot of workshops and things that you do for people. Oh, okay. Now I just heard another beep. So let's hope, okay? Okay. Dearest angels, please let there be a caller on the line. Hello, who's calling?
Hi, yes, my name is Karen.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Good.
Okay, well, finally. All right, so do you have a question for Rhonda?
Yes, I actually do. I just have to turn my computer down.
Yeah, you do.
Anything. I apologize.
I'm hearing myself.
To any of
That's a good thing.
Yes, no. Yeah. I was calling to find out about the possibility of getting one of the readings.
Sure.
I'm trying to work on ascension, and I feel like I may have progressed, and so I don't quite have a question, but I thought if I could get some advice on my path as far as that's concerned, I'd be really happy with that.
Okay. All right. So what state are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
Okay. All right, what they're showing me, there's a lot of golden light around you, and what they'd like you to first consider, so these are some questions that you can ask yourself, sweetie. So, Karen, they want you to start asking yourself these questions. So what is the purpose of ascension? Because what I'm seeing is that there is some clarity around even what that means, but there's also I don't know, it's a little murky. You're not quite sure what ascension is. So,
yes, that's true.
Okay. All right.
So I actually started getting into Wicca, and I was just feeling so much better in my life with everything, and I got hooked into listening to Almeen, who's also on these stations.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the things that she was saying had a ring of truth. And so I started to just listen to a lot of it. And then all of a sudden, all these things started to happen. I'm able to tell things before they happen. I was messing with tarot a little, and now I can read everybody with no problem very easily. I'm being told I'm ascending, but like you said, there's a little murkiness around it. So that really hit me, you know. That had its ring of truth, too, you know.
Okay. All right, so the first bit of wisdom they would like to share with you, sweetie, is that get rid of all the glamour and all the connotation around ascension, because some people want to glamorize it, so they're asking mm-hmm. you to just push that aside, because it's really your birthright. It's really about merging with the divine fully. See, and when we're in that space of merging, like Allison and I were talking earlier, there's no judgment, there's no fear, there's just love and compassion. And there's no resistance toward anything. So say, you know, a problem arises in your life, so it's, instead of pushing it away or being fearful of it, it's about just moving through it with grace. So that's really what ascension is. So they're asking you to just push the glamour part of it away, because a lot of people want to glamorize it and say, oh, I'm ascending, you know, what is it like for you? It's a process. But it's a very personal process. But I want to say that in due time, you're going to understand the steps that you've taken. So they're giving me this beautiful staircase that you are ascending, and you're going into greater light and being a body of light in a greater way. Right now they're showing me a lot of gold around you. I don't know if you've ever heard of the master teacher Dwal Kul, but they're suggesting...
No, I haven't.
Okay, they're suggesting you look up the master teacher Dwal Kul. There's a lot of information around his vibration about his mission in the world. for you. You're really a student of his.
Okay.
I can see you going there on the astral plane when you're traveling at night, doing astral travel, where you're being tutored by, you know, you're under his tutelage. So check out.
Yeah, actually, I used to do astral projection, and I kind of stopped it a little when I started listening to Amin, because
okay.
I was just kind of hemming through things. And can I just add one quick thing?
Sure.
I think I was kind of led to your show because I was doing all these things with Amin schooling and all that, and I'm trying to get to my class, and no matter what I did, it kept putting me on this site, on this station at this moment, and I'm going, you know, I'm going to listen because I love numerology, and I was trying to learn about it. I said, let's see what this is about, and I was loving it, and I've never called into anybody, and I said, wow, I've got to try this because I think I was pushed to come here tonight.
Right.
Well, sounds that way, Karen.
I'm so glad.
Yeah,
thank you.
Lisa's show comes highly recommended by higher sources. Thank goodness.
Yes. May I ask just one final thing? Could you spell that teacher's name or give me an idea of how it might be spelled so I can look him up?
Yeah. You could Google Master Teacher Dwakul, DJ. Let's see. A lot of people call him DK for short. But let me see. He's the Tibetan master. It's DJ.
Okay.
W A H L K U H L is the way they spell the
name. K U H L?
K U H L.
K U H L.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Thank you very much.
K U
H L. Thank you very much.
All right, honey. Thank you for calling in. Very good. But that was quite the spelling on that, I'm telling you.
Yes. He's
how do you pronounce it? I wouldn't have been able to pronounce it. I would have just stood there going, I have no idea. All right. All right. Well, we have another caller, Rhonda, so we're just going to go right to our next caller, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And who's calling, please?
Hi, this is Carol.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm okay, Allison. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And do you have a question for Rhonda?
I do. I just like to have an idea of what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Oh, that's a big question.
That's a big one, isn't it?
So what state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Okay, they're showing me you're kind of like looking this way and that way and underneath stuff and, you know, around the corner, and it's like you're going fishing, but you don't really have the right bait, is what they're saying to me. So what they're asking you to do, do you meditate? Are you a meditator at all?
I've just started.
Okay, great. Great. So they're asking you, just because they're going to be with you, what I'm seeing is that the teachers in the records are showing me that they're going to be with you. So when you go into this next meditation, they're asking you to be fully present for yourself. They want you to do some really deep breathing before you go into the meditation. Breathe deeply while you're in the meditation. And they're asking you to ask specifically for some information about what you should be studying right now. What I'm seeing is that there's some books about ready to be presented to you that will really totally intrigue you and hold your interest. And that's where you should focus your energy right now for your greater soul development. They're not showing me specifically because they want to empower you through your meditation practice since you're just starting it. But the key for you is to do some deep breathing with it. They're saying you're not trusting exactly what you get when you're going into meditation, and you kind of push it away. It's like a little door that's opening, and you shut the door right away because you're thinking, oh, it's just your imagination. So they're just saying to trust what you're getting and leave it at that. It's that simple.
Okay, and I'll get it then.
Yes, they're showing me. Yeah, they're going to be right there with you, and you are going to feel them. You're viscerally going to feel them around you.
Wonderful.
Trust that, yeah.
Okay, Carol,
thank you
for calling in.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, that is very fascinating. Very fascinating.
You know, it's so funny, Allison, how we'll look here and look there, and, you know, usually the answer is right in front of our face.
Yes, that's very true. And also I think that you know it because it just the idea of it brings you joy or there's just a peaceful, wonderful feeling about it. So it's a wonderful way to be able to, if you pay attention to your emotional body, it helps you to see it and recognize it because it makes you feel good. So
right.
We do have another caller. Rhonda, you're popular lady, so let's just go right to our next caller. Who's calling, please? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Kim. How are you?
I'm very good. And where are you calling from, Kim?
I'm calling from Maryland.
Well, hi. Well, welcome to
hi.
The show. Do you have a question for Rhonda?
Yes, I do. Hi, Rhonda.
Hey, Kim.
I'm calling to, I want to see if you can tell me what my past life was and what am I here to do and possibly any other info you may have.
Okay, the first thing that's coming up before we go to the other lifetime they want to bring to the surface is that there's a man that's very interested in you. Do you know who they're talking about?
I'm sorry?
There's a man that's very interested in you. Do you know who they're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how do you feel about him? They want to kind of broach the subject a little bit.
I care a lot about him. He is my fiancé. We've been together almost 12 years.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys have been together in another lifetime. They want to expand this a little bit before they go on. You were actually, you know, because you... I understand why they want to go there first. In this other lifetime, they're showing me you were sisters together. I'm seeing, you know, I don't know how you feel about jewelry in this lifetime or how he feels about jewelry, but I'm seeing you like creating little objects, not both of you, but you. In that lifetime, you were sort of a jewelry maker, not where you would make it for other people, like in the village that you lived in. This looks like you were in a village, it looks like Yugoslavia, very Slavic culture. You're very religious in that lifetime, too. It looks like Roman Catholic. And so you would make, like, little kind of devotional bracelets and things like that. I'm not seeing you making rosaries, but I'm seeing you, like, doing little devotional bracelets, like little, they think they call them chaplets, something
mm-hmm.
like that. You would design those, and you would give them out to your friends and parishioners. Sometimes they would pay you. Most of the time they wouldn't, anyway, so there was a great camaraderie because I can see your sister, which is your fiance this time, being very supportive of you, you know, encouraging
mm-hmm.
you because it was a great expression for your soul in that lifetime. You got a great deal of, you just really loved it. You loved making other people happy through it. So what they want to say in bringing this up is that it's really important for you to make sure that when you're giving your time, giving your energy to others and even in your job, that you really are amply paid for it, that you are paid fairly for whatever work you do. This is a lesson that you're working on this lifetime. It's about not giving your services totally away for free because it's holding what you have to offer in the work world and other situations of value, of great value. Because it is of great value.
Oh, okay, because that's everything that you actually just said, and I still do. So that's kind of...
It's one of your life's lessons, sweetie. Yeah.
Okay, so start charging more.
Charging
okay.
straight, I guess.
Are you picking anything up, Allison?
Well, actually, I think that I love what you're doing, Rhonda.
Okay.
And I am just letting you do your thing right now. I did kind of, as soon as she cropped in, what I did see, and I didn't look at her chart, but it was more or less an intuitive or psychic impression, I did see a money lesson and a power lesson for her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I did feel it, but I really, you know, you're doing such a great job. I'm just going to hang back here and watch a master at work, you know. That's pretty cool. All right, Kim, well, thank you so much for calling. Thank you.
Thank you.
It was great to connect, Kim.
All right.
Yes, thank you. Have a good evening.
All right, bye-bye.
You too.
Now, okay, I'm going to be a little bit selfish here, Rhonda, because many other readers have said that my husband and I, and oh, caller, it's just me right now, but I'll get right to you, have said that my husband and I have been together in past lives as well. Do you get that impression with me?
Yeah, But, and
yeah.
I'm also seeing that in the other lifetimes, you really liked being the boss. I don't know if they've ever said that to you, but this is a lifetime where you're more, it's equally balanced, your power is more equally balanced
mm-hmm.
as far as relating to each other. But in the other lifetimes, you like to be more in control.
Oh, wow.
So it's about coming into a greater balance and harmony. He's a perfect person for you, Allison. He really is. He's very mental. He's really intelligent, right?
Oh, very, yes.
Yeah. So he keeps you well grounded. He helps you stay really grounded. You're really grounded anyway, and it's very important for you to be grounded because you
right.
understand the purpose of it. But
right.
he's just there to support you, very similar to my husband. He
right.
helps me stay really grounded. And it's,
right.
It's a great thing. It really is a great quality to have.
No, and just to validate what you said, it's like I always say, I love a man with a big brain, and he had such a big brain, and it was like, oh, my God, it was like this treasure chest of knowledge. And so we do bounce off mentally off each other really well, and that's in the grounding aspects of it. He always makes, especially when he first met me, he always compared me to a helium balloon, and he was always holding the string, you know, to help to
uh-huh.
keep me grounded. So I'm just validating what you said, so I'm really, really impressed. You do, it's just fabulous. You do fabulous work.
Right.
All right, so now that I was selfish, and I was terrible, look at the host asking the guest. Okay, how selfish is that? Okay.
You know, I think it's perfect. It's your show.
I need to get my bennies out of it, yeah. But we do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to go right to my caller. Who's calling, please?
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Hi, Allison and Rhonda. It's Lynn from Connecticut.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
How you have a question
one
for Rhonda?
One of my friends. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
or
go
both
for
of
it.
You. I usually focus, as Rhonda said earlier, on everyone else, and I need to
yeah.
start focusing more on my path and,
uh-huh.
And would love some input tonight.
Okay. Yeah, you really, Lynn, this is like your life, biggest life lesson. You have to stay in your power, and you have to just go for it. Because once you start reveling in it, I mean, and really, they're showing me like a dog, you know, playing in the grass and just laying on his back and just, like, enjoying every moment in it of it. Once you start reveling in it, it will feel so, you'll feel so much better about being in your power that you won't have to think about being in your power and doing what you want to be doing. You'll just be doing it. And I know I know you're resonating with that. I know that makes sense. But for you, it's about, well, how do I do that now?
Right.
And how do I get there? Little steps. I mean, I think that you going to audition, because why don't you just share with the audience what you do?
I'm a singer and an actor. And recently I had twins, and they'll be actually going to be a year old in a couple weeks. So I've been all consumed by babies and not focusing on, obviously, anything else but them. And
mm-hmm.
it's time that I start getting my energy back into my love of theater.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking to do.
Yeah. So you auditioned for a play for the first time, you know,
a few days ago. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you didn't get it, but that's okay. It's about the experience, and it's about moving through the experience so it builds you up a little bit more, and you can't take it personal. You can't take any kind of rejection personal. It only makes you stronger because it wasn't the right role for you. So you go on to the next audition and the next audition, and then we get better and better. It's like anything that we master, it's something that we have to do over and over. I'm sure Allison can say that, you know, numbers just didn't come to her overnight. It was a passion to begin with, but she had to do a lot of studying too, just like I did.
You know, what I would say really is that oftentimes we're in apprenticeship, and the experiences that come to us, and we would like things to happen instantaneously, but quite often we're in apprenticeship for our destiny. And so the various different experiences that come into our life serve a purpose, and it's part of the growing process. If someone had said to me 5 years ago that I'd be doing a radio show, I would say, you are out of your mind, but here I am. And there were so many experiences that prepared me for the moment, you know, that eventually, you know, I started doing the show. So all of which, everything that happens to us, there's a reason, it serves a purpose, and it just, it's an apprenticeship to you know, the big play, the big starring
right.
role, you know, the big time that you're eventually on the way to, so,
mm-hmm.
so that's what my feeling is.
Thank you. That's nice to know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
well,
right,
thank you both.
Then. Well, thank you for calling. All right.
Thank you. Good night.
Now, everyone that's listening to the show, and certainly Rhonda has clearly demonstrated just tremendous accuracy in her information, and she's doing some really wonderful readings. And I'm just so incredibly excited to have her on the show and to offer everybody the opportunity to maybe get a reading with her. But I do want to refer everybody back, because I want to point back out what her website is, and that is thesoulknows.net. And if you go to thesoulknows.net, there's certainly her blog or Words of Wisdom. There's information about her services, how to get private consultations. Certainly there's information about her events and speaking engagements, as well as her classes and workshops. So, again, you know, write it down, thesoulknows.net, and check out Rhonda's website. I know we have another caller, so who's calling, please?
Hey, Allison, this is Ryan from North Carolina.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have a question for Rhonda. Rhonda, with your experience with the records and just like past life experiences, I'm curious what your take is, and if you could talk a little bit about why individuals are possibly born into this world with severe or chronic mental illness.
It's, number one, it's an experience. First and foremost, that's what I've seen over and over again. They wanted to have that experience. The soul wanted to experience it. It's not a punishment. It's not, you know, sometimes it's karmic in the nature that they are balancing other lifetimes, and this is a really quick way they can do it. You know, by being so out of control with mental illness that they have to be very proactive in their health, you know, and taking care of themselves, you know. And some people totally do it out of love for the family members, you know, and for the other people in their life. I've also seen that. So there's not one real pat answer. The one, like I said, that always is first and foremost, it's just an experience. It's an experience the soul wanted to have and volunteered for.
Do you find it's possibly more of a learning lesson for those around them or those who have interaction with them opposed to them themselves? Because the people who I have, I work in the mental health industry,
right.
The people who I have contact with just seem so, I guess, unaware of their surroundings that it seems like it would be hard for them, very extremely difficult, to at least become aware of what it is maybe spiritually that's going on or what they would have to learn.
Right. But to see this, see what I want to say about that is the soul knows the truth. So at the core, at the soul of the individual, the core of the individual, they know what's going on. And that's why my website is really called The Soul Knows. You know, we may not know consciously, but at the level of the soul, we know. See, you're being a facilitator in helping them heal. So in acknowledging them where they're at in this lifetime, you're really being a facilitator of their healing, as well as your own healing. You know, because you chose this for a profession. But I'm sure that you're seeing remarkable, very fascinating situations, as well as I'm sure that you see some people not get better at all and some people get a lot better. So, I don't know.
Can I interject just for one moment? One of the things that I see quite often is that this sometimes is very strongly related to karma,
mm-hmm.
and a karma that can be explained that in a past life there was an abuse of power, where someone may have chosen to do something that was rather self-serving, and that it actually took away someone else's power. And so when the soul comes in, it actually comes in at times powerless.
Yeah.
And I find this very strongly connected to the 19-1 karmic life path, or very strong presence of 19-1 in a chart. And it's almost like a person spends a lifetime to various degrees of not being in their power. And it's very, very common to have someone come in with physical disabilities where they're at the mercy of others
mm-hmm.
throughout their life, where they do not have the ability to stand on their own two feet, where they certainly cannot stand in their power. And this is what I see in people's lives, you know, through the experience of many, many readings, that this is what I see my explanation would be anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ryan? Does that make sense, Ryan?
Hey, Ryan, has it taught you a lot about non-judgment?
Well, yeah, I mean, you cannot work in the mental health industry and be judgmental. Well, I mean, you can, you just won't be very effective with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, yeah, it's teaching me a ton, yeah.
You're really great at what you do, too. The teachers wanted to acknowledge that. Where are you at in your schooling? Have you thought about going back and getting a master's degree, or are you at master's level yet?
Yeah, I'm master's level. I graduated in 06, so I've been working,
okay,
you know, just about 3.5 years in the industry thus far and have a ton to learn.
Yeah. Well, don't rule out any more schooling, I mean, because they're saying you're a great student, and, I mean, you've got a lot to share with the world about this. So, you know, if you feel like if you're getting the nudge to go back to graduate school, go for it, because it's in your best interest. It really will serve you in the long run.
Well, is there anything in the Akashic Records as far as, you know, getting money towards? Because then I would really love and be interested in it. I'm just right now with financially speaking, it'd be a little bit more difficult, but I don't feel like I'm really getting a nudge towards grad school.
No, not yet, but eventually I'm seeing you getting that nudge. But what what they're showing me is that there's a particular interest where you're seeing where you can really make an effective difference, and you're noticing things in working in this field every day that some people are not picking up on. So they're showing me in that arena, what they're showing me, so pay attention to this area where you keep getting drawn in, and I keep seeing schizophrenic for some reason. They keep showing me schizophrenic. If you keep being drawn in and things that you're noticing around schizophrenics, you know, this may be something that you could do in joint effort with maybe a pharmaceutical company. That's coming up really strongly, sweetie, where you can do research for them, you know, when you found certain drugs are more effective than others. They're not giving me a lot of clarity on it because this is something that's going to evolve over time. But what they are asking you to do is pay attention to to this area that you're drawn to, as far as it's just fascinating to you, that you're really passionate about it and you just don't get tired learning about it. Because there is an opportunity.
Yeah, I actually do. I work with schizophrenics.
Okay.
And it's very interesting, but it's very difficult because the industry treats them. And I think I do approach them a little bit differently in the fact that, you know, I'll talk to them like I'm talking to anybody. And for the majority of people, they talk to them like they're three-year-olds.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I've noticed with mental illness is that they're really treated poorly as far as what people think they have capabilities of doing.
Uh-huh. That's so great because you honor them. You honor them right where they're at. But there is, I am seeing some sort of funding or grant or endowment, and it's very much connected to a pharmaceutical company that's connected to a research, like hospital or teaching facility. So there is money out there for you. But follow your passion. Follow what really rings your bell and what fascinates you.
Okay,
well,
Ryan, thank you.
Well, thank you so much
for
your time.
In.
I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Bless
thanks,
you.
Thanks, Ryan. That was fascinating. Absolutely.
What a big heart that Mr. Ryan has.
Yes,
huge heart.
Yes, he does. Wonderful. All right. Well, we were talking about your website. We were talking about some of the classes. Would you want to, like, really quickly or very briefly go through maybe some of the classes that you teach, Rhonda?
Sure, we can do that really quickly just so everybody can get a little bit of feel of the steps that we take. So the first class is really an initiation into the records, and I'll show you how to shift your consciousness into that dimension of the Akashic Records so it becomes very fluid for you and you know that you're in the records and you're understanding that you're shifting from your normal everyday waking consciousness into that altered state and dimension of consciousness where the records are held. So you can be very clear that that's where you're at and you're not, you know, picking up on Aunt Martha or Uncle Bill or whatever. So you know with clarity that you are touching in on the records.
Mm-hmm.
Now that doesn't mean that Uncle Bill and Aunt Martha can't show up within that space of the records, but I will say in the hierarchy of the records as layered as it is and as well organized as it is, the teachers allow the loved ones that they know are need to come through and communicate with you. So when people are gifted in that area, when they can pick up on that vibration of spirit and, you know, of loved ones in spirit, well, then usually they will come through with people that, you know, have that ability and have honed that ability through other lifetimes.
Well, I'm really glad that you mentioned the passed on loved ones in the Akashic Records. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that as far as a almost like a permanent vision that I have is literally I do see a room, and I actually see it with stone floor and almost like an altar, like rectangular table of some sort.
Uh-huh.
And I almost see this wall that goes forever to the skies. And to me, I always kind of thought that this was the Akashic Record room, but what was always interesting to me is there was passed on loved ones standing
right
next to the person.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what are they doing there? I always thought,
right,
what are they doing there? But I just thought that was just, so when you said that, I was like, wow, that's really interesting. All right.
See, most people aren't sensitive enough. See, you're very well trained and you're very sensitive to vibration. So you can pick up on that loved one's vibration. So you're
right,
seeing that, and the teachers know that you can see that. So they'll allow them in that space so you can connect with them. And
well, I'm glad you said that. That was really something that was interesting that I always wondered about. Why are they there?
Yeah.
When you think of the place where you're at, you kind of, why are they there? But, you know, all right. That was,
well,
okay,
you know, a lot of times people do need, you know, healing with grief, or they have unanswered questions for their loved ones, or they just want to know that they're okay.
Right.
You know, and they need validation. So,
and also
yeah,
in the Akashic Record rooms, would there also, this is where the guides would step forward as well?
If it's to the soul's, if it's for the soul's growth, yes, you'll be able to see a guide. A guide will pop through, or their angelic will pop through. The angels will be shown, you know,
right,
the guardian angels,
right,
maybe a specific angel that's working with them.
Yep, angels,
you know.
Well, right. Because
yeah,
one of the things that I noticed was, in the process of doing a numerology reading, because you do it over the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden I realized that I was getting a visual, okay,
yeah,
when
uh-huh,
I'm doing the readings, and it's quite like the room that I described, and then so seeing the whatever was around that particular person, you know, whether that be, you know, guides or angels or passed on loved ones, but also, like I said, it appears to be a wall that just, it is on off to the, I would say, to the left of the actual, you know, room that just goes for as far as the eye can see, you
right,
know, to the heavens. And I mm-hmm, always thought or interpreted it that is that's where I got the very strong impression that the numerology is actually a piece of the Akashic Records. It
right,
pertains to this particular lifetime. It is the soul's intent. And it is the free will choice of the soul, and it's what the soul wanted to master in this lifetime. So that's kind of, you know, with you validating that for me, I mean, look at me. I just learned something by listening to you. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, I'm glad that
love
we're
you,
here.
Rhonda. I love you. I love you.
I'm glad that we're here together.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Very exciting show. Well, as much as I hate to say it, we have just blown by, you know, for most of our time. So, because we have a couple minutes left on the show, so I do want to give you a few moments and putting it into your own words, you know, like maybe some insight, maybe some guidance for our listeners.
Okay. Number one, love yourself. I mean, that's what's ringing really clear right now in this time where there's lots going on, there's lots of chaos in the world around us. I mean, it's really important to love ourselves deeply. It really, truly is. And to honor ourselves. Honor goes a long way.
Sure does.
Because, you know, that's kind of like a foreign word to some people, but it's really important. But more than anything, we really are connected. All of us. All of us are really connected to the world and globally in ways deeper than we can even imagine. I mean, everything is connected and interconnected.
Sure.
So, once we take that to heart and really kind of perhaps even sit with that, think about it for a couple of days, you know, feel what that feels like. It allows us and brings in more compassion and more love and more joy into our lives.
And that's all good. Sweetie, I don't mean to cut you short, honestly,
no.
I don't, but I do want to just one more time. It's thesoulknows.net, and also make sure you check out Rhonda's radio show In the Flow, which airs on Sundays at 3 and also on Wednesdays at noon. We are out of time, Rhonda. You got to come back.
I'd love to. It was great, Allison.
Thank you so much, sweetie, for being here. And abundant blessings to everyone. And we'll be back again next week. Y'all have a great evening. Good night, everyone. Good night, Rhonda.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.